Ready. Good morning. Good morning. Well, you guys on this side got to hold it down. You got to hold the. We're going to tilt. All right. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want to read beginning at verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Starts out with one of my favorite words, which is, some would say, is an old-fashioned word. It's been translated, dear friends. I'm not sure I like that. I like the way it says, beloved. 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 Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your words as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I pray that you would lighten the way forward for us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have heard the expression, let's keep the main thing the main thing? Ever heard that? How many of you remember taking standardized tests in school? You had math tests, English tests, reading tests, and you loved them, right? And then the reading test, you had often they'd give you a selection to read, sometimes a lengthy paragraph. And then there might be a question such as, what's the main idea of the paragraph? And fortunately, it wasn't a fill in the blank, but it was multiple choice, so you had multiple choices to choose from to get the main idea. Now, imagine God asked you to read all the laws of Moses. Let's just start in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, okay? Just Leviticus. Read all of Leviticus and all of Deuteronomy, and then you tell me which is the greatest commandment. Could you do that? Of course you could, because you know what the greatest commandment is, right? We've been spending some time on that. So you could answer that question. You could answer the question because you know Jesus was your tutor and gave you the answer, right? Jesus told you what the greatest commandment was. And you also know there's a second right answer, right? The first was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and greatest, he said. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang or depend the law and the prophets. If you want to turn there, that's Matthew chapter 22. So let's go back there. Some of you have not been with us, as we've mentioned this before, so this would be a good refresher for you. It comes about in Matthew 22, verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced, that is, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together and they plotted, and one of them, who was a lawyer, that is an expert in the law, he knew Leviticus and he knew Deuteronomy, he knew the law and the prophets. So he thought he would test Jesus to see if he got the answer right. And he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest, the great commandment in the law?" And this is where we get Jesus' answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, most modern translations of verse 40 use the word depend. The King James and the New International Version use the word hang. And that's really more literal because it's the same word that is used of Jesus and the two criminals hanging on the cross. Depend is not a bad word. But hang might give you a better idea of what Jesus is talking about. It might give you a better picture of that. Seeing the image of something hanging from a central support enables us to see that every law in the Torah hangs from or is supported by two central summary statements. You see, the bodies on the crosses weren't nailed in midair. They hung on the cross. They depended on the cross for the support of their bodies. So you have Jesus saying there's two central summary statements of the law and the prophets. Love God and love your neighbor. These two laws deal with the two directions, as I've pointed out before. You have the vertical directions. And so in the laws, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, there are laws relating to how the worshipers were to relate to God. You had all the no idols laws. You can't have any idols. You have all the sacrifice or offering laws. You have feast laws. You have Sabbath laws. They were summarized in the first part of the Ten Commandments, right? The first four commandments were about the vertical relationship to God. And then you also had horizontal laws, both positive and negative. Both vertical had positive and negative laws. Horizontal laws were also positive and negative, relating to the worshipers, how they dealt with other people, their fellow Israelites, and those who were not Israelites, translated called strangers or foreigners. And they were those laws were very practical matters, having accurate weights and measures, letting crops remain in your fields for the poor to glean. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, because these all affect other people. It's the last half of the Ten Commandments. So in these two commandments, well, remember when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, when it comes to our relationship with others, he taught basically the same thing when he summarized the Law and the Prophets by what you know as the Golden Rule, which is what? Whatever you wish that others do to you, you do to them. That's how Jesus summarized the Law and the Prophets on the horizontal level. So in these two commands, God showed that he had proper ways to worship and relate to him and proper ways to relate to others. There's different metaphors that you can use to think about that, to visualize that. You had the hanging metaphors. You had laws that hung on the vertical or the vertical laws, and then you had the horizontal laws. They hung on that. But you could also see those laws, these two laws, as the glue that held everything else together. You can also get the picture that these two laws are like our sun in the solar system, right? Around which all the other planets, everything else in the solar system revolves around our sun, or at least in our solar system. And there's different ways you can view this. But as we look at Jesus' answer, I want to ask you a very logical question based on his answer. And the question is, why? Why did he choose these two? Now, the Jewish rabbis will tell you that there are 613 laws. I've mentioned that before. Why these two? Ever thought about that? Well, the answer is not given. Jesus doesn't say why. But I want to give you three reasons why I think he might have chosen these two. I'm sure there are more than three reasons. And I'm sure that, you know, Jesus could very well say to me, now, Terry, I'm not certain you got everything exactly right here. But let me just throw out three reasons that I think Jesus might have chosen these two. And let's go back to Matthew 22. We've already read it in its entirety. Now let me leave out some of the words. And I want you to tell me what these commandments have in common. The first and greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor. Now, what's the word that they both share? Love. Love. Love is the word that they both share. So, the summary of God's law that Jesus said summarizes the Law and the Prophets is love. In fact, That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13. And I think I've already mentioned this, but we have some new folks here. So let me read it again. Romans 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summarized up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Paul said the same thing in Galatians 5:14. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is what fills God's law full. Or God's law is full of love. You say, well, there's all those other laws. So sacrifices and do this and don't do that, and how in the world, and what, and how could I remember all of that? It's all about love. Love in the vertical to God, or love on the horizontal. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5, and this is a real challenge for me as a preacher. He told Timothy the aim or goal of our charge, and that word's been translated instruction, our command. The aim or goal of our command, our instruction, this is what we're trying to aim at when we talk to our people, when we preach, when we teach. The whole aim is, guess what? Love. That's the challenge for me. Because it reminds me of what Hebrews says, provoking one another to love and good works. So I'm here to provoke you this morning. Not to make you mad, not to condemn you. That's not my job. Oh, my stars. Not to make you feel guilty, but to provoke you to love and to good works. The aim of Paul's apostolic instruction was love. Can you see now how, can you understand how at the very beginning of the year when I was talking about God and you can do more in 2024, and one of the things that you can do more and more of is love, because that's what the Apostle Paul says he wanted the Thessalonians and he wanted the Philippians to, that their love would grow more and more. More and more. Therefore, the first reason that I propose to you that Jesus chose these two commandments is this. Love is God's ethic. Love is God's essential, foundational ethic for His people. That is, this bi-directional love is the main thing God's people are to obey. And what do I mean by ethic? The Oxford English Dictionary defines ethic as a set of moral principles. Webster defines it as a theory or system of moral values. Ethics, in the plural, are moral principles, and we could add values, governing or influencing conduct. A set of moral principles and values that influence how you believe. or how you behave. That's going to be very important next week when I flesh this out more. But what I'm trying to present to you today is that ever since God began revealing himself to his people and how he wanted them to live, love was the underlying unifying constant. This love ethic was finally codified in the law of Moses. In other words, love is the highest possible good or purpose for living that God wanted his people to aim for down through the ages, and that's what he wants for you. The highest possible good that you can pursue is love. In this bidirectional way, vertically and horizontally. Now, let me give you the second reason. There's an old hymn that I rarely hear sung anymore. Some of you older folks will know this. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in what? In Christian love. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. So I propose a second reason that Christ possibly gave the love commandments is that the love for God and love for one's neighbor is what binds God's people together when it's properly practiced. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And it's interesting that our teens and our children who went to merge had this text from Colossians. Colossians 3. I want to begin reading at verse 12. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones," that is, his people, and notice the two words, "holy and beloved." I'm going to relate that in the third answer, but holy and beloved. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on what? Love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the second reason I propose to you is that love for God and love for our neighbor is what binds us together when it's properly practiced. And I'm going to say more about that in the weeks to come. But now let me give you the third reason why Christ may have chosen the love commandments to hang the rest of the laws on. And the third reason is that these commandments reflect the very nature of God himself. We see this clearly in John, in 1 John 4 that I read for our scripture reading. We see it in verse 7, we see it verse 8, we see it in verse 16, where we read twice, God is love. The Apostle John makes the argument that love begets love in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How does this work? Well, verse 7 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. That's why I say love begets love. We who have been loved by God should respond back to God in love. That's the first commandment. And we should be channels for God of his love towards us into the lives of other people. That's on the horizontal. There's another old song, some of you oldies will make me a channel of blessing. A channel of blessing. You who have been blessed are to be a channel of blessing to others. You who have been loved are to love others. That's what verse 10 that our merge teens learned in Colossians says. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. If the creator is love, then what we're being renewed in his image, has to be love. This is essentially what Paul meant in Ephesians 5, 1-2, where he tells us to be imitators of God as beloved children, that is, children who are loved by God, and walk, that's literally keep on walking in love, and that idea of walk is a lifestyle. Let love be your lifestyle. Because you are beloved children of God. And that brings me back to the very first reason. Love is God's ethic for his people. Love is that set of moral principles and values by which we live that affects our behavior, both vertically and horizontally. Love is to be a way of life for us. And our love should grow more and more in 2024 and beyond. So you might ask, well, what about holiness? I thought holiness was God's essence, since Leviticus and elsewhere tells us over and over, God is holy. Didn't Isaiah cry out, or didn't he record the cherubim crying out three times, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Didn't the Apostle John record in Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come? And didn't John again write in 1 John 1:5, didn't he write God is light before he wrote God is love? So, which is it? Which is God's nature, love or holiness? Well, the answer that I love to give is yes. Because I'm convinced from Scripture that we must say God is both love and holy, and both aspects of his nature are manifested in the other. In other words, God's love permeates his holiness, and God's holiness permeates his love. You really cannot separate the two in God. And now get this, and neither should they be separated in us. Neither should holiness and love be separated in us. That's a world to think upon, isn't it? Because in our day, we are being told that it's okay to love that which is not holy. And we're also have people who try to maintain a standard of God's holiness without much love. Especially as they try to force it on others. And they judge others by standards of holiness without love. That's the Pharisees, wasn't it? They judged Jesus, maintaining standards of holiness. And Jesus called them on and said, if you really love the Father, you would love me. You really can't separate holiness and love. In fact, again, I remind you, Colossians, we are called holy and beloved. That separation is what caused God in holy love to turn away from his people and punish them through the exile from their beloved holy land. You remember Israel's history. God taught Israel to be holy and to love him and each other, but they failed to do both. They failed to be holy and they failed to love him. And they failed to love one another. They failed to be God's special people, devoted to and completely loyal to God alone and separated from the nations. And so in his holy love, he booted them out of the promised land. He punished them. And I pray that we would not separate love for God and holiness, living, holy living for God. And thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ did love God with all his entire being, and he loved his neighbor, including his enemies. Including us. And he still loves us, despite our many flaws. Aren't you glad? Isn't he worthy of your praise and worship? Because he still loves you more than you can imagine. And you are worse than you think you are. And yet God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. So let me summarize. What are the three reasons that Jesus perhaps chose these two commandments? Is that God is love. Love is God's ethic for his people. Love is God's way of living for us. Second reason was love in two directions is what binds God's people together. If you have mutual love for God and mutual love for one another, including foreigners and strangers, that's what binds the community together. Next week, I'm going to give you 18 reasons I came across, 18 reasons why people are leaving the church, 18 reasons why they say people are stopped becoming Christians, and one of them is that they're looking for community and they don't find it. We need to be that community of love, because we have a God who is a triunity, a community of love himself. And we are to reflect that. And third reason is that love reflects the very nature of God himself. God expects us to imitate him in love, and he's given us Jesus as our greatest example, and he's given us the Holy Spirit as the one who grows love in us and enables us to love in a way that people will see that we are followers of Jesus. So now we're going to sing that last song. And it's a song that Fran chose a while back. Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin. Love lifted me. So let's sing that one together.